The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now it's time for our weekly medical consultation with Dr. Ray Wally, and there are two things I want to concentrate on today: codeine addiction and also the important things in your urine, what it could indicate about your health. So we'll get to that in a little while. But this thing about codeine addiction, the Irish Medical Journal warning of an epidemic of codeine addiction. I bet you I know countless people who will say there's no harm in popping a couple of Solpadeine in the morning into a glass of water, kickstart for the day and off you go.
Well, this is a timely article in the Irish Medical Journal by a young lady who is a community pharmacist as well as doing postgraduate medicine.
This is Emma O'Donnell.
Yes, very, very good article. 100% agree with her. Certainly something as a GP of 30 odd years now, basically you see it coming into our surgery regularly. And we hear of, is actually interesting in this article, it references a study done at the Dublin Neurological Institute Headache Clinic, Professor Tim Lynch's unit in the matter, indicating 52% of a cohort of 200 patients presenting with headache, and the cause of the headache was likely to be paracetamol and codeine use.
The cause of it? I thought the paracetamol and codeine was a great way to get rid of the headache.
Yes, unfortunately, yes. That's for periodic, occasional use. But the problem is people are constantly using this and they're using it as a prophylactic to prevent the headache rather than treat the cause. And the cause can be many simple things like stress and whatever. But unfortunately, we do know that this is replicated not just in Ireland, it's replicated in the UK and it's replicated in US studies, that there is a codeine addiction. And unfortunately, in places like America, whereby you see big stats, unfortunately, it has been causing people to die early as well.
Hold on a second. Before we get to what damage it might do, a lot of people use codeine products for things like dealing with a hangover or dealing with a headache, but you say they often do it as sort of anticipating the headache that they actually use the stuff.
Yes, unfortunately, there is a well-recognised psychological and physiological dependence to opiates. So it'd be interesting to know if you're on this stuff. And we're talking like, you know, simple codeine. There used to be codeine cough bottles, then you've got codeine and simple paracetamol, opiate, codeine remedies. But if you, you know, the indication of opiate withdrawal symptoms are chills, constipation, nausea, insomnia, sweating, anxiety, watery eyes, medical terminology.
You're making this sound like you're on heroin. I mean, surely it's a product that you can legally buy from your pharmacist, albeit after they might give you a bit of hassle before you buy it. Couldn't be sounding like it do damage you like heroin or something like that.
Yes, and heroin is an opiate as well. And unfortunately, it is simple remedies which have become very available over the counter, such that in the Italy and Australia, they've now made them prescription only. They're looking at changing. It's a Schedule 5 drug in the UK and Ireland, meaning you can buy it over the counter at limited numbers with a consultation with your pharmacist. They're not looking at it. They're going to do it in the next short time in the UK, make it Schedule 4 that's only available from a GP or a medical practitioner. And 100% we need to do that here as well.
Okay, but what are the side effects of using codeine?
Well, unfortunately, they are addictive side effects. So all the withdrawal symptoms we've talked about.
But can it damage organs?
Yes. Often they're mixed in with paracetamol, and we know that paracetamol is something that causes liver problems and other organ damage. Basically, it can depress your breathing. Often it is part of accidental overdose remedies, plus, unfortunately, people who want to knowingly commit overdose. But if you mix it in with other, a great number of these people have polysubstance drug use. It's a gateway drug to using other things. So they possibly have alcohol dependence, benzodiazepine use. And there is a remedy for this, which is now being looked upon, provided by the state in the form of Suboxone, which is an antidote to this. Unfortunately, we do have, you know, it's groups of people now attending opiate addiction clinics within the state, and people are seeking attendance at private clinics as well. So it is a recognised major issue, and we need to deal with it now that it has been indexed as a major problem, as this timely article does.
Okay, let's move on and let's talk about the important things that your urine can indicate about your health. Okay, if you need to urinate more often than usual, what can that be a sign of?
So the medical terminology is polydipsia, increase in frequency of urine. So you come into your GP because we'll all remember doing exams and basically you're bored silly studying the same stuff and you've got a little bit of a psychological polydip, so you're going to the toilet more often. But the things we start thinking about are you basically getting hyperglycemia, high blood sugar? Are you getting hypercalcemia, high calcium level? So when you go into your GP, invariably they will dipstick their urine. They possibly will send the urine off to make sure you don't have a urinary tract infection. And in the younger individual, you'll be thinking about diabetes, high calcium, things like that. So you'll do a list of blood tests. In the older individual...
So is the urine only an indication and you have to do the blood test afterwards to get confirmation of a person's situation?
Generally, if somebody presents to a general practitioner, they'll do all of the above. They'll do the urine and they'll do the blood test if it's persistent. If somebody has other symptoms like they've pain passing urine, basically, or there's a bit of blood in your urine and they're female, more likely it's a urinary tract infection. But if somebody's getting this recurrently or for persistent and they've had the infection outruled, you'll be doing the blood test to make sure. But there are, you know, so, and unfortunately diabetes, because obesity is at high levels and we're gaining more weight than we should do, we have an increase in diabetes. So unfortunately, people are presenting with that, which unfortunately, when you get a high blood sugar, your kidneys can't handle the sugar. So you excrete it, you put it out in your urine, and your body is actually trying to protect yourself. With putting out a lot of urine, you invariably can lose a lot of weight. And that can be dangerous, because if you lose a certain percentage of weight, unfortunately, that can be majorly making you sick. And you get other issues, biochemical issues, which can would be serious to your body.
OK, that's if you're perhaps urinating more often during the day. What if you suddenly have to start getting up at night? You're woken up by a need to go to the toilet at night. What could be the cause of that? Is it the same things?
Well, if you have had a few drinks too many, alcohol is what's called a diuretic. So basically that makes you pee more. Equally, if you've drunk more liquid than normal 2 hours or so before you go to bed, unfortunately what goes in must come out. Or if you've eaten some certain food stuff like celery, cranberries, watermelon, cabbage, grapes, they also have a diuretic effect. But, you know, I'm afraid as we get older, especially in males, we tend to get enlargement of our prostate. And that can mean that you put out less fluid on each occasion, but you put out more. So all of that does need to be dealt with by a general practitioner. And invariably, unfortunately, you present those type of symptoms where you're getting up at night to pass water, called nocturia, going more frequently. You might get what's called a bit of dribbling. It's a lovely conversation piece where you basically get a bit of dribble having passed. This is for males only. Where you get a bit of dribble when you've passed urine, you thought you were finished, but you get a bit of dribbling on your pajamas or something like that, called terminal dribbling. Lovely terminology. So you start thinking prostate, and invariably what you're doing with that as a general practitioner, you're doing a rectal examination, check the size of the prostate, see what it feels like. But you're also again sending a person off for a specific blood test. Now, there is a bit of people going for that blood test specifically with no symptoms, and that's not a good idea. But again, engage with your general practitioner.
What if there's pain when you piss?
Pain could be simply that you're passing a little bit of blood, which obviously is something that needs to be looked at. But equally, it is more likely you have a urinary tract infection. Ladies, as they well know, will be more prone to this because of their anatomy. A urinary tract infection in a male, full stop, one occurrence, you need to look at it and it needs to be referred to a urologist. But you need to look at, you know, for example, if you are somebody with diabetes, you are more prone to them. So you need to be looking at not just acknowledging the symptom, you need to be looking at the cause.
There may be people listening to this who find this is all a bit distasteful to be talking about at this time of the evening as they're going home perhaps to eat their tea or their dinner. It is important because this is your health that could be at stake. What if your urine smells strange?
Well, the common cause of that is probably you're not drinking enough water. So your urine could be a bit yellow or could be a bit brown. Basically, you need to be drinking about 2 litres a day. But equally, it can be due to certain foodstuffs. And basically, so things like garlic, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, turnips, cabbage can change the smell of your urine, as can asparagus. But the commonest cause is likely to be that you're not drinking enough urine. Not drinking enough water.
We're not endorsing drinking urine on the programme.
Yes, I'm definitely taking the piss there. No, definitely do not do that. So water only, please.
Okay, and then what about colour? Because should your urine be clear? Should it be yellow? Should it be orange tinged?
The majority of time it should be clear. Certainly you're not going to be drinking late in the evening because that's going to make you get up at night to pass water. So certainly the majority of times it would be water. It should be clear, or the urine should be clear. And this message has got out there. You're seeing a lot of the younger age group now carrying bottles to drink their own basically water or whatever. And
Keep hydrated at all times.
But certainly, unfortunately, certain things like, you know, my own comments previously in regard to overdosing with vitamins, things like vitamin B2 can cause yellowing or orange urine. So basically, most of which is freely available in the vegetables and fruit, which you don't really need to be adding anything in. Other things which cause pink urine are rhubarb, beetroot, blackberries. However, you need to be considering, is there blood in your urine if in the absence of you've taken rhubarb, beetroot or blackberries?
We're going to have to leave it there. Dr. Ray Wally, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.